Some of you listening to me might remember the savings and loan crisis of the late 1980s. Hundreds of savings and loan associations went bankrupt because they made high-risk investments, which would have produced high profits had they succeeded. When they failed, the taxpayers were left holding the bag to the tune of $132 billion between 1989 and 1995. Over 1,000 executives were convicted of felonies, and over 800 spent time in prison. In one specific case, Lincoln Savings, owned by the notorious Charles Keating, 23,000 bondholders lost everything they had invested in that institution. Those losses totaled more than $250 million. Keating himself was convicted of defrauding his investors and served 4 years in prison before his convictions were overturned by an appeals court. He never admitted any wrongdoing. One of the regulators who oversaw the efforts by the government to find and punish the perpetrators of hundreds of frauds was a lawyer economist named William Black. From 1984 to 1987, he was the litigation director of the Federal Savings and Loan Insurance Corporation, the institution that insured SNLs. And in 1988, became senior deputy chief counsel for enforcement and litigation in the Office of Thrift Supervision. Black's unstinting opposition to efforts by members of Congress and regulators to sweep the criminality and danger to the economy under the rug earned him the enmity of Charles Keating himself, who, in a memo, wrote that it was essential that Black be, quote, killed dead, unquote, metaphorically speaking, of course. Keating sued Black and another whistleblower in an effort to bankrupt them with legal costs. But Black and his staff had the upper hand. They had the expertise and integrity to document the extent of criminality involved in the SNL crisis. In working out what actually had gone wrong in the SNL debacle, Black developed the concept of control fraud. The idea is that if you head an organization, a business or a government entity, you are in a position to thwart the usual checks and balances that would prevent an employee from stealing from his own business. If you are a bank teller and you stick your hand in the till and put the money in your pocket, there are safeguards at the bank, audits, cameras, to reveal not only the loss, but where the loss occurred. However, if you are the president of the bank, and therefore can manipulate the books so that it looks like the bank is profitable while it is losing money hand over fist, you can take large compensation packages until the falsity of the profit picture is revealed. At that point, the business can declare bankruptcy, stiff the creditors, and you walk off with your ill-gotten gains. Even better, if the institution is insured by the federal government, as all SNLs were, the taxpayers bail out the institution. When the SNL crisis struck in 1989, the federal government took over the failed institutions. Some executives and bought regulators were forced to resign in disgrace, and 800 fraudsters went to prison. In 2008, and subsequently by contrast, when a much bigger epidemic of control fraud almost destroyed the economy, as dramatized in the movie The Big Short, not one single perpetrator of this latest round of criminality was even indicted, let alone jailed. To remedy this, William Black and three other expert whistleblowers have formed Bank Whistleblowers United, an organization which has come up with a series of recommendations for actions that the president could take without Congress's approval. The president can order the Justice Department to hire staff that is mandated to find examples of control fraud in financial institutions and prosecute the thieves. Every presidential candidate should be confronted with these proposals and asked if they will pledge to implement them should he or she be elected. For details, go to the website of Bank Whistleblowers United. The proposals are eminently reasonable. Nothing would concentrate the mind of a potential bank executive intent on robbing his own bank more than the prospect of real prison time.